Our study tonight is in Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, handling slander by speaking the truth, praying, and persevering in God's will. Slander is a particularly difficult trial to face, since seriously negative reports about a party, be they true or even false, have a way of being greedily taken to heart by the hearer. There's a proverb, Proverbs 18:8, that says, "The words of a gossip or a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." When you hear an unusually negative report about another party, it has a tendency to stick. Whether it's true or false is almost irrelevant. And that's the danger of slander. Slander is a false report, negative report about someone else that's designed to tear them down by misrepresenting the facts. One of the real problems of slander is sometimes there is a part of truth in it, and the truth is twisted and applied in a way that it does tremendous damage. Well, how do we face this? Nehemiah faced slander in Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Slander that had just enough truth in it mixed with it to make it believable to those who were naive. And how he handled it in Nehemiah 6, 8 to 9 is instructive for us today. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. "Then sent Sanballat, her servant, unto me in the like manner the fifth time," and we're going to see what he did the other four times, "with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, quote, 'It is reported among the Gentiles, and Gashmu says it, that you and the Jews are thinking of rebelling, for which cause you're building the wall that you may be their king, according to these words. And you have also appointed prophets to preach of you at Jerusalem, saying, there's a king in Judah. And now it shall be reported to the king," that's the king of Persia, "according to these words. So come, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as you say, but you feign them, or you're faking or producing them from your own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." It's a wonderful passage because it tells us how to deal with vicious and destructive slander. We learned in our last lesson that Nehemiah's foes, Sanballat and Geshem, four times had sent word to ask Nehemiah to meet with them on the plain of Ono, which was about 30 miles east-northeast of Jerusalem. You'll remember that from our study that we did last week in Nehemiah chapter 6, 1 and 2 and verse 4. Now, they pretended to want to make peace with Nehemiah, but insisted on having him meet them so far from the Jerusalem Wall construction site, and insisting that indicated that they had destructive motives in mind. So Nehemiah wisely answered them benignly, which means harmlessly, claiming that he was busy doing a great work and could not leave it. Incidentally, this is a tremendous thing to do. When we feel that there is a party that's trying to get us off center somehow, the best thing to do is just to focus on the will of God and say, you know, I'm busy doing God's work. I can't be involved in that. Let me just stay here. And that is, I've learned, that saves me out a lot of problems. Just focus, no, I'm doing a great work. That way you don't have to come up with some negative thing that someone can take and distort. You don't have to get waylaid. You just focus in on the will of God, and it keeps you out of a lot of trouble. Well, apparently becoming aware that Nehemiah was exposing their negative motives by his repeat benign replies to their appeal, Sanballat decided to slander Nehemiah openly, presenting him as an evil man to sabotage his leadership and thus sabotage the Jerusalem Wall construction effort. After Nehemiah's fourth benign response to Sanballat's and Geshem's request that he meet them on the plain of Ono, remember this is 30 miles away, it's like meet with us in East Hartford. It's about the distance there, and you're saying, yeah, why? Why East Hartford? How about Canton or, you know, even closer? Or at the reservoir up here at Nepaug? How in East Hartford, that's basically what he's talking about. So, Sanballat claimed in this open letter that a report from the Gentiles had surfaced that Nehemiah and his fellow Hebrews working on the wall intended to rebel against the Persian king. This is just a report. Now, this would be a very threatening report to spread around because if the king hears of this, the king really is concerned because he doesn't want anybody to rebel against him. And that would bring in the Persian army and look out. So a slander can be extremely dangerous in a situation like this. And that's the report that Sanballat claimed had been circulating. Also, Sanballat claimed that the report suggested Nehemiah was trying to acquire a following among the Hebrews who were helping him on the wall so that he could make himself Israel's king in rebellion against the Persian king. You'll notice the last part of verse 6. For which cause you build the wall that you may be their king, according to these words. So we hear that your real motive behind this is you just want to be the big chief and you want to create a kingdom that's going to rebel. Now, there's some truth in this because in years past, centuries past, the Jews had rebelled against the kings. They'd rebelled against the Babylonian rulers that had come and so forth. So they had a history of this. But they're trying to paint Nehemiah into a corner as being like his forefathers in rebelling against the king. And of course, if news of this gets back to the Persian king, it could be dangerous. Furthermore, Sanballat claimed the report also suggested that Nehemiah had appointed prophets to proclaim at Jerusalem that there was a king there, suggesting that Nehemiah was the king and that Nehemiah stood in danger of having all these claims reported to the Persian ruler so that he would certainly become angry and want to attack Jerusalem. This is why in verse 7 it says, "For you have appointed prophets to preach of you at Jerusalem, saying there's a king in Judah. Now it's going to be reported to the king according to these words. So come now and let us take counsel." So they're using this as pressure on Nehemiah. Okay, we expect to see you at the plain of Ono. Otherwise, this report is just going to happen to get back to the king. So what do you say? You know, they're trying to manipulate him. And this is real, really bad pressure. Well, this last charge about the prophets had a ring of truth to it, because both prophets Haggai and Zechariah had been led of God just before Nehemiah's time to call Israel to rebuild the temple, and both had predicted about a coming Messiah. This is by way of review because we've already covered these particular prophets. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, this particular prophet had predicted that there was the coming of a Messiah. I'll just read that. I'll find it here. Haggai chapter 2, verse 7. God is speaking according to Haggai, and he says, "I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations," which is a reference to the Messiah, "shall come, and I will fill this temple with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." So it's a reference to the Messiah. And then also, Zechariah had predicted, probably even more clearly, the next book over, is Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, I believe it is. Yes, Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes unto you. He is righteous and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey and upon the colt, the foal of a donkey." Of course, they're speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Sanballat is saying, you're hiring these prophets to speak about you. See? So you're going to make a king. Now, the mixture of truth with error here was very believable to those who were naive. Well, armed with this destructive slander, Sanballat tried to pressure Nehemiah to meet him on the plain of Ono, lest news of this report reach Persia's king. He's basically saying, you need to meet with me. If you don't, I'll see it too that this message gets back to the king, and then you'll be in trouble with him. So he's acting like a little child in this situation. Well, what are you going to do? Sanballat could then, if Nehemiah yielded, of course, to this pressure out of fear, Sanballat could either kill him or attack the workers on the wall and thus end the effort. So Nehemiah wisely and courageously countered this slander by doing three things. Notice what he did. Nehemiah chapter 6, beginning verse 8. "Then I sent unto him," this is unto Sanballat, "saying, there are no such things done as you are saying, but you are making them up out of your own heart." He countered the slander by just speaking the truth. And sometimes that's about the only thing that you can do. There's something very potent about the truth. It has a way of filtering through. And I believe the Holy Spirit uses the truth, even if we're speaking the truth, to counter slander. Because the truth has a tendency of ringing. And one thing about the truth, if you speak the truth, you never have to be embarrassed about it later. Because when all the facts come out, you're exonerated. If you don't speak the truth and all the facts come out, then you got mud on your face. Because that's a figure of speech. You look bad because you hadn't been telling the truth. And then your whole reputation is hurt. So it always pays to tell the truth. I remember as a child, my father especially, he always got us to admit, this is more painful than the spanking before we got spanked, he always made us admit what we had done wrong. And it was very painful, and he kept trying to slide out of it, and he wouldn't do it. He said, no. You want a spanking? You're going to get a big one if you don't come clean on this. I want you to admit what you did wrong. Now, what did you do wrong? And then you had to say it, and that was the most painful. That was, like I said, it hurt more than the spanking. So when you said it and you knew what you'd done wrong, okay, then you got it. But he always tried to teach us so that we wouldn't have to get into this situation again. We don't have to get spanked again. So you would learn from it. Well, Nehemiah sent word to Sanballat that the report Sanballat gave was false, that he had authored the slanderous report from his own imagination. So he got him to speak the truth. That's very important. Second, he prayed. Having clarified this fact, Nehemiah acknowledged the slander made him and his helpers afraid of a reprisal from the Persian king were he to hear and to believe the slander. So Nehemiah prayed for God's help to counter that fear that he might continue doing the work. Notice verse 9, for they all made us afraid, saying their hands shall be weakened from the work that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Sometimes the best thing to do, in fact, many times in slander, you really can't defend yourself. If you try to defend yourself, you look suspect. All you can do is pray. Lord, if you want me to continue doing what I'm doing, you're going to have to protect me. That's it. Otherwise, you know, I'm cooked. Because I can't make myself believable on this one. This is tough. I've been in a situation like that. So all you can do is pray, and that's what you need to do. And then the third thing you need to do is to recognize what Nehemiah did. This was an attack against the wall. What the enemy was trying to do was trying to get them away from the work of God. I believe many times Satan does this. In fact, the word devil, I think, believe, it actually means slanderer. And he's known as a liar. Jesus said he's a liar from the beginning and so forth. So what we need to do is recognize that Satan, by slander, sometimes tries to get us defensive so we get off kilter and get away from what God wants us to do. And we get preoccupied trying to put out the little fire of slander instead of just continuing on to do the work that God wants. So we need to stay and persevere with the assignment that God has given. So Nehemiah persevered with the calling that God had given. Clear evidence in Nehemiah 2:4-8 was his assignment, the biblical work of rebuilding Jerusalem's city wall. You see, if you go back to Nehemiah chapter 2:4-8, and Nehemiah never forgot this, God had made it very clear to him by circumstantial evidence and by answers to prayer that God wanted him to rebuild the wall. Back when the king was asking him about what he wanted in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4, then the king said to me, "For what do you make request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered. And of course, he told him about the wall. So then it's interesting. In verse 8, the letter came to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he might give me timber to make beams from the gates of the palace, which appertain to the temple and the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. See, the Lord had led. He knew. This is what God wanted to do. So until the job was done, he wasn't going to let Sanballat or Geshem or anybody get him off center. Sanballat had a long record of trying to keep them from building the wall. So he focused on the assignment that God had. So when facing potentially damaging, manipulative slander, Nehemiah spoke the truth. He prayed for God's help to function above fear of the slander's damaging effects, and he kept doing the will of God, just focused at it. So if we face potentially damaging, manipulative slander, we must speak the truth. We need to pray for God to encourage us to function above fear of the slander's ruinous effects, and we need to persevere in God's will. It's interesting, not long ago, I had a situation, and I obviously can't go into detail in regards to this, where an event had occurred. I was a witness to an event, and I needed to compose something in writing for a party that was involved in the situation. And I wondered exactly how am I going to do this, because if the information wasn't exactly right, it could actually, I realized it could do a tremendous amount of damage. And I got some advice, and the implication is give the facts as you saw them, as you understood them, with as much honesty as you can. And so I did. Sat down, wrote out, and I went over it with a fine-tooth comb. Okay, is this exactly what? Yes, this is what I saw. This is how I responded to it. This is how I interacted with it, and wrote it out. And I was very glad to do that because it was very well received, and it ended up being something that was very edifying. And a party who was involved remarked that they appreciated the honesty and the sincerity because it was extremely forthright and it reflected the events as indeed they were perceived or actually seen to do. So there is really something to speaking the truth, working hard at that. If we work very hard at being as objective as we can and truthful as we can, especially in a situation that can become very slanderous, it does a tremendous amount to protect and to help. So the Bible talks about speaking the truth in love. The verb actually is truthing in love. It's not just speaking the truth, it's actually truthing in love. And if we focus on that, and we have to get away from coloring the truth with, sometimes there's a tendency to juice it up with our own little motives there. We can't do that. We've got to back away and say, what actually happened? What is reality here? And just convey that. And if we run into a situation where we can't be objective, we need to be honest about that and let the parties know, I can't make an objective decision because, of whatever, and just be honest. But we need to struggle at that because that has a tendency to be very protective. So, handling slander, how do you do it? You speak the truth, pray, and whatever you do, keep persevering in God's will, because often the evil one uses slander to try to get us away from the will of God, away from being productive. So whatever we need to do, we need to stay productive and keep at it.